By withdrawing from our divine will, Adam lost the possession of this kingdom. Because by doing his own human will, Adam placed himself as though in the state of war against the eternal fiat and poor one, not having enough strength to fight, nor an army well equipped to be able to wage war on a will so holy that possessed an invincible strength and a formidable army. Adam was defeated and lost the kingdom he had been given by us, triune God. So here, the whole reason for the divine will is to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Adam was a human. He wasn't the Son of God. But he fell from such a height, Jesus said, that it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to come to earth to redeem and Our Lady co-redeem with Christ. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus has said, now since the Catholic faith has been started again, the universal life has begun, he has to use a human to bring the divine will on earth. So this whole thing of sanctification that the charismatics are praying for and that the Pentecostals are praying for is the spirit that Jesus has breathed into Louisa. This transformation of the face of the earth is going to happen because of Louisa. Now, in 1900, Pope Leo XIII consecrated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit, and the Pentecostal movement began in 1905. In 1960, John the 23rd, prayed for a second Pentecost, and then in 1967, the Charismatic Renewal began. And in 1998, John Paul II prayed on the year of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, this is what God has told the church to do, and not knowing, they have been faithful to what God wants. And that is this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is what God breathed into Louisa. This great outpouring that's going to happen worldwide is the divine will. That's why St. Padre Pio said the world of the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. Louisa's a second son, St. Padre Pio said, that's going to give light and life to all the world. So we have to understand that this has to be done by a human. The Son of God and the Mother of God redeemed mankind. To be for sanctification, this is what Adam was supposed to give to his children. So what's happening right now, and this is why the devil's panicking. He's causing a lot of trouble worldwide because he knows his kingdom is coming to an end. The divine will is going to reign. And so this is what Jesus is saying to us. More so, since the strength Adam possessed before was our own, and as we had given him also our own army at his disposal, but when Adam sinned, the strength returned to our source, and the army withdrew from Adam, placing itself at our disposal. However, all this did not take away from his descendants the rights to reconquer the kingdom of my divine will. That's our job now. It happened to us to a king who loses his kingdom in a war. Can there not be the chance that one of his children, with another war, may reunite the kingdom of his father that once was his? More so, since I, divine conqueror, came upon earth to make up for the losses of man, and finding anyone who would receive the kingdom, I would give him back the strength, placing my army at his disposal once again, in order to maintain its order, its decorum, and its glory. And what is this army? It is the whole of creation, in which more than a marvelous and formidable army, the life of my divine will is bilocated in each created thing in order to maintain the life of its kingdom. Only if man saw the whole invincible army of creation disappear, then he would lose the hope to possess this kingdom again. Then one could say, God has withdrawn his holy will from the face of the earth, and that vivified it, embellished it, and enriched it, and therefore there is no more hope that the kingdom may be in our possession. But as long as creation exists, it is a matter of time in order to find those who want to receive the kingdom. Now, that's one of the things that's so great. And Jesus teaches us that his love is coming to us in every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand. And especially in the spring, we see all the flowers, the fields blooming with I love yous. This tells us that the kingdom is still in the divine will. The creation is still in the divine will. Only man is outside of the divine will. And God now wants to bring man back into its kingdom. So as we learn, that's what I'm saying about the prayer. Well, just so that you know, each book is $10, not two books are $10. If you don't have the money, don't worry about it. But each book is $10. The other books that we had were $5. They were thinner. But basically, we're not making any money. We're just giving you the books at cost. So the when you learn the Echo book, when you pray the prayers of Louisa, you begin to pray in a powerful manner. You begin to pray in a manner that is going to just completely astonish you. That's why also when we pray for Louisa's intercession, we want Louisa, we want miracles to happen, and God's going to show many, many miracles through Louisa's intercession. Donette, your daughter, is she needs prayers. She's having her 10th baby, and she's got a mass on her ovaries. So we're going to pray to Louisa that she be healed. I mean, just watch the power that happens. The little prayer cards, the relic cards, are very, very powerful. And when you're praying, be confident of God answering your prayer. Louisa isn't going to have one or two miracles like the rest of the saints. She's going to have many, many, many miracles. Pray with confidence to Louisa and watch what God will do. Louisa will intercede for you in a way that will astonish you. So we pray for Donette most especially that this mass that's on her ovaries will be benign. And besides, if there is no hope to possess this kingdom of the divine fiat, it would not have been necessary that I, Jesus, manifest to you, Louisa, the so many knowledges about the kingdom. Either it's the divine will that wants to reign, or it's sorrow because it does not reign. When something cannot be realized, it is useless to talk about it. Therefore, I, God, would have had no interest in saying so many things that regard my divine will. So, my mere speaking about the divine will is a sign that I, God, want the divine will to be possessed once again by man. So, God wants us to possess this. 5:21-4:2:27. My daughter, a will that does not love me freely, but by force, means distance between creator and creature. Creature and creator. It means slavery and servitude. It means dissimilarity. On the other hand, a free will that does mind and loves me means union between soul and God. It means sonship. It means that what belongs to God belongs to the soul. It means likeness of sanctity, of love, of manners, so much so that whatever one does, the other does as well. Wherever one is, the author is also. I'm sorry, I can't. This is tough. Trying to hold back my tears from my nose here. This is why I created man with a free will to receive this great honor that befits a God. So here we have, see, this oneness. See, God came for a wife. God came to earth to find his bride. And this is what the divine will is all about. It's to begin to live in union with God, to possess God and God possessing us, to do what God does. The best way to describe in the likeness of God, my friend, Father Brian Murphy, his father left Ireland when he was 19. And when my friend was 19, he brought his father back to Ireland. And he was walking down the street at his father's town. And this man, by himself, his man yelled out, he goes, "You're a Murphy, aren't you?" And the guy turned, my father Brian turned around and said, "Yes, how do you know?" He says, "You walk like your father." Now, he hasn't seen his father in 19 years, but he was in the likeness of his father. And that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be in God's image and likeness to do what God does. Through baptism, we are in the God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, we end up in God's likeness. That's why what Jesus has done, he says, "You'll do far greater things than I." Again, what is going to happen in our lives when we're surrendered to the divine will is God is going to reign in us. When we say, "Breathe in my breathing," we're going to feel Jesus breathing in our breathing, even though it seems like we're doing it. See, God takes us at our word. He has great plans. And we're going to be astonished at what God is going to do. So it says very clearly here, we're going to receive the great honor that befits a God. I would not know what to do with a will that loves me and sacrifices itself by force. Even more, I do not recognize it, nor does it deserve any reward. So this is why all my aims are upon the soul who, of her own free will, lives my holy divine will. A forced love is of men, not of God. And because men are content with appearances and do not go deep inside into the gold of the will in order to have a sincere and loyal love, just like a king who is content with the subjection of his soldiers as long as he has his army formed, he does not care whether the soldiers have their wills far away from him. However, if their wills are far away from him, he might have the army, but he is not safe, because it can be an army that is plotting against his crown and his life. A master might have many servants, but if they do not serve him willingly, but out of necessity, out of convenience, out of fear, or to receive wages, these servants who eat of his bread might be his first enemies. And that's what's happening today. God is asking us to freely choose the divine will. Nobody is forcing you. I've always said nobody can force you to read the divine will. If you read the divine will, you read it because you love God. And the more you love God, the more you read. If you read a paragraph a day, that's how much you love God in the 24 hours. You love God for that maybe 5 minutes. Because when you enter into this gift, you begin to live it. Then you read more and you put it more into possessing it. You begin to live the life that God wants us to live. It's astonishing. Again, the saints did the will of God. Jesus is asking us to live in his holy divine will, doing more than the saints. But your Jesus, who sees the depth of the will, is not satisfied with appearances. And if this will spontaneously wills and lives in my divine will, then my glory and the creation and everything is saved, because it is not servants that possess it, but my children, who love so much the glory of their celestial Father, so as to be ready to feel honored to give their own lives for love of him. And again, that's what the divine will is. It's not doing your human will anymore. Okay, I'm not going to have, again, you surrender everything to God. I'm not going to eat ever again in my human will. When I eat, I'm going to eat in the divine will. I'm never again going to dance in my human will. If I ever dance again, it's going to be dancing in the divine will. See, it's to say to God, I never want to do anything humanly anymore. I want to do everything divinely. Lord Jesus, dance in my dancing. Lord Jesus, eat in my eating. Lord Jesus, reign in me. So what happens is, it's no longer are you doing things because you want to. You're doing things because Jesus wants to. So you say, I want to have an ice cream today. Jesus, what kind of ice cream do you want? You know, and the wonderful thing about eating with Jesus, he never overeats. He's not gluttonous. And what happens is, your life becomes refined. Your life, you begin to do things one with Jesus. And he does not do anything in a way that would be unhealthy. Our God is a good God, and he wants us to learn how to let him reign in us. So that's what Jesus is saying here. Again, we want to give our own lives for the glory of God. Never do I want to drive in my driving. I want Jesus to drive in my driving. You know, we want the Lord to reign. Volume 22, 7, 10, 27. My daughter, how admirable, harmonious, and all ordered among themselves, and the rare beauty are the acts done in my divine will. Think about that. How admirable, harmonious, and ordered, and of rare beauty are the acts done by my divine will. They are a divine army that, lined around the Supreme Being, forms our glory, our defense, our happiness without end. Excuse me. Holy cow. I'm just dripping like a... Anybody got one of the... Anybody got a... Well, it's not vitamin C. Anybody got a... Claritin, anything that'll knock it out. No, I brought some pills with me, but I can't find them. God doesn't want me to have part. No, no, no. What do you call that?
Yeah, give me a Claritin.
Oh, thanks. Allergy. Oh, wow. Claritin. Oh, yeah.
Claritin.
Yeah, that'll do. Thanks. Thanks. Holy cow. Any more drugs out there? Holy cow. I've never had anything like this before. Okay. Okay, here we go. Volume 22, 7, 10, 27. My daughter... Okay. Okay. They are our divine army that, lined up around the Supreme Being, forms our glories, our defenses, our happiness without end. So Jesus is showing us this divine army are the truths that are inside of Louisa. And as we begin to live these truths, we are at war with the evil one. He cannot conquer us. You will find that all the difficulties that you've had in life are gone once you start living in the divine will. This is what's going to be astonishing is God is going to the army of these truths will fight the evil one, and you will grow into great heights of sanctity. Excuse me. Sorry. Holy cow. Okay. You will take your place in our army. You will be our legitimate daughter, as though a sister to all the acts of our divine will, and therefore you will have the power to unite them all together to bring us the glory, the happiness of all the acts of the eternal fiat. See, this is an explosion. See, it's all based on love. It's all the I love yous that we're supposed to live. Our hearts are supposed to be free of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. It's supposed to be living the I love you of God. This is what God wants. This I love you of God is so powerful that your whole life, you change, you're transformed. As Jesus says to Louisa, you're transmuted in God. You are going to receive light years of grace that the saints only dreamed about. It's much different than what the saints went through. That's why when the Holy Father proclaims Louisa blessed, when that happens, the devil is going to take off. Because he'll know at that point that it's not only Louisa, it'll be everybody in the world who's reading the divine will is going to begin to live this abundant life. And again, what is it going to take to make every Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Jew, Protestant say, I want to be Catholic. I want Jesus Christ. I want the Blessed Mother. What is it going to take to make the whole world turn and turn into really a life that we only could dream of? Something great is coming. Something magnificent is going to happen. What a difference between one who is in the act of the divine will and one who is not. An act of the divine will can be called a sun, a heaven, a sea of eternal love, a beatitude, a happiness that never ends. See, right now, if we do something good, it's nice for a couple minutes, but it's over. When you do an act in the divine will, it's a sun, it's a heaven, it's a sea of eternal love, it's a beatitude, it's a happiness that never, ever ends. When we give an I love you in the divine will, 100 billion years from now, that act will still be saying I love you. It never ends. And so the more that we learn how to live in the divine will, the more these eternal acts, this is why Jesus said be fruitful and multiply. These eternal acts will continue for all eternity. Jesus calls them divine lives. They're because why? Because Jesus is doing it in us. We're not doing anything. We're just cooperating with that grace. It's an immense light, and all of its acts have the fullness of light. There is nothing of the divine will that does not invest its acts. On the other hand, one who is not act of the divine will, how dissimilar he is. He cannot take a place in the divine army. He will not be able to give eternal joys, eternal happinesses, and his light will be so poor that he will be hardly to be able to look at himself. His acts, however good, because they are produced by the human will be like smoke that the wind disperses or like flowers that withers and dies. What a difference, my daughter, between the two. So everything that the saints have done, how great the things that they have done, Jesus is saying is like smoke because they were done humanly. See, God wants us to do more. He wants us to go back to do the acts that Adam did before the fall, to do the same acts of Jesus, the same acts of Mary, the Son of God and the Mother of God. Again, no saint has ever done this. And see, now is the time when God is going to allow this to happen, and he's asking us to do it, linking ourselves with Louisa so that it can be accomplished. So that's why I say don't limit God. Let God have his way with you. Let God teach you, guide you, direct you, lead you to this abundant life that he says he wants us to possess. Volume 23, 10, 23, 27. What a noble kingdom and a full of life is this kingdom of my divine will. Okay, a noble kingdom and full of divine life is the kingdom of my divine will. Now see then the great necessity of the knowledges about the divine will. So see then the importance of reading the volumes. They are not only the fundamental part, but the nourishment and the regime, the order, the laws, the beautiful music, the joys, the happinesses of my kingdom. Each knowledge possesses a distinct happiness. They are like many divine keys that will form the beautiful harmony in it. This is why I am God, abounding so much in telling you, Louisa, so many knowledges about my divine fiat, and I require of you, Louisa, and those reading it, the greatest attention in manifesting them, because they are the base and are like the formidable army that will keep the defense and will act as sentries so that my kingdom may be the most beautiful, the holiest one, the perfect echo of my celestial fatherland. So again, what Jesus has got planned, see, this isn't human. So you have to understand what the divine will is divine. Now, you have divine love of Sister Josepha. You have divine mercy of Saint Faustina. And now Jesus has given us the ultimate divine will. This, everything was human, and now it's divine. So our God is asking us to let go of our human understanding, our human reasoning, to be able to embrace a divine understanding. This is, again, this is the main difficulty that the theologians have today. They say, well, John of the Cross doesn't talk about this. Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, they don't talk about this. And Jesus says that's true. Because the great mystics of the church, they would receive the mystical marriage and then they would die. They would receive the mystical marriage and then a year or two later they were dead. At 17 years old, Jesus said to Louisa, I'm going to give you the spirituality where all the other saints enter their spirituality with a mystical marriage. So he began with Louisa at age 17, this mystical marriage. And then he said to Louisa, go to bed. Now she could walk, but she went to bed being obedient and she stayed there for 64 years. And then Jesus says, don't eat. So what would happen is, see, Louisa did all the suffering. I mean, really, as what God is calling us to do is nothing. Louisa went through it all. Jesus and Mary Louisa, the three that suffered the most, went through it all. And now God wants to give us this kingdom. Okay? And he starts with us at the same point. In the very first volume, volume 2 is the very first volume. In volume 2, Jesus said to Louisa, you must begin the divine will with the mystical marriage. So that means that what God wants for us is to accept his proposal to be married to God. That's where you start. This is where all the other saints entered their spiritual life with the mystical marriage. And then they were dead. They could go no further. But what Jesus has done with Louisa is he's asking Louisa to begin a new life that has never been seen since the fall of Adam. It's not a saintly life. It's not a good life. It's not a holy life. It's beyond that. So when you read volume 1 through volume 10, you understand how to become a saint, a divine mirror of Jesus. When you read volume 11 through volume 19, you receive how to receive the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This has never been seen. This is what the charismatics and the Pentecostals want, is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then God gives us something even more from volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, which no saint ever looked at, ever even considered. And that's why when you get up to volume 30, you're in orbit, because what Jesus is telling you is, as you're reading this, you have to say, of course God has to do this, because He's God. He has to give us His life. We have to be in His image and likeness. And what happens is you are at a point that you are so happy, so peaceful, so joyful, that you lose friends. No, it's true, because when somebody says to you, look at the world, look what's happening, look at it, you go, fiat, so God's in charge. And your response is always, fiat, I trust God, fiat. And after a while, misery, who loves company, won't be talking to you. And then you have more time to read the volumes. That's the best part. So, again, to receive the perfect echo, okay, we have to echo God. And this is what's so beautiful about Louisa. Louisa echoed God perfectly. And as we begin to echo God, our lives are different. Again, it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. God wants perfection. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfected. That means that we are called to be like God. That's what Jesus demands. He didn't say try to be perfect. He says you must be perfected. So how can we do this? Well, now we know it's through the great gift of the divine will. Everything in the church points to the divine will. Everything does. And when you read even the breviary, all you see is the divine will. When you read the sacred scripture, all you see is the divine will. When you read the dogma and doctrine of the church, all you see is the divine will. Because God is showing us how to do this. And He now wants to give this to the whole world. Volume 23, 129, 28. These writings on my supreme fiat, excuse me, by the strength of its light, will eclipse the human will. They will be the balm to the human wounds. They will be the opium to all that is of earth. The passions will feel themselves die. From their death will rise again the life of heaven in the midst of creatures. Now, Eden in Hebrew means pleasure. God has created a place of pleasure for mankind. Our passions want earthly pleasure, and that leads us to hell. What we begin to understand is what God is doing is your passions will die. What will happen is you're in their death will rise again the life of heaven in the midst of souls. In the midst of your family, you are living a life of heaven. In the midst of your neighborhood, you are living a life of heaven. In the midst of your parish, you are living the life of heaven. And everything's being accomplished by you living in the divine will. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You just live it. And what happens is everyone begins to be changed by you living in the divine will. Why? Because it's Jesus and Mary living in the midst of the souls. It's not you anymore. It's Jesus and Mary. Come, Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Come, Lord Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Who is beating in your heart but Jesus? Who is breathing in your breathing? It's Jesus. It's the new Adam and the new Eve. When I say Jesus, it's always Jesus and Mary. It's always Jesus and Mary. They are one. It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this is your family. You don't have to worry about your family. Jesus says, you do what I want and I'll take care of what you want. So as we begin to live this life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa, what happens is your family is changing, your neighborhood is changing, your parish is changing, your country is changing, the world is changing. It's a whole new beginning for mankind. This is what's so glorious about it. Listen to this. They will be the true celestial army that, while laying siege to the human will and all the evils produced by the human will make peace. The lost happiness, the life of my divine will rise again in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighborhood, in the midst of your parish. Everything happens by you doing this. See, this is what Our Lady keeps on saying. She says, peace must be in your heart, so that peace will be in your family, so that peace will be in the nation and in the world. What Jesus is now saying, Jesus and Mary are now saying, is when the divine will reigns, the kingdom is here. There's nothing to worry about anymore. The siege that they will lay will cause no harm to anyone, because my divine will is to lay siege to the human will so that it may no longer tyrannize the poor souls, but may leave them free in the kingdom of my divine will. See, it's a whole new heavens and a whole new earth that's coming. This is what Our Lady is preparing us for. This is why she's appeared all over the world, to get us ready for the kingdom, the fulfillment of the Our Father. After this, I was continuing around in the divine fiat, and I accompanied the sighs, the tears, the steps of Jesus. See, this is the round of redemption. And all the rest done and suffered by him, and saying to him, my love, Jesus, I place the army of all your acts around you, and investing your words, your heartbeats, your steps, your pains, and all your acts with my I love you, I ask you for the kingdom of your divine will. Hear, O Jesus, if you do not listen to me by means of the army of your acts that praise you, that press you, what else could I do to move you to grant me a kingdom so holy? So again, it's the army is found in Louisa. That's the first thing I read tonight, today. There's the army. Is the truths manifested to Louisa Picaretta. While I was saying this, I thought to myself, did sweet Jesus have his desires while he was on earth, or did he not have them at all? And Jesus moved in my interior, told me, my daughter, as God, no desire existed in me, because desires arise in one who does not possess everything, but in one who possesses everything and lacks nothing, desire has no reason to exist. And that shows us about prayer. Adam did not pray. Adam commanded. And that's what Jesus, that's why he said to Peter, walk on the water. Come on out. I command you, walk on the water. And Peter sank. Why did you falter? Why did you fail? And it's the same thing. God is going to teach us how to command. You know, the Protestants say that, in the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Jesus. It's taking the place of Jesus. In his name, I command. And so what's happening is God is going to teach you how to pray in a way that you've never prayed before. Like I said, once the kingdom is established, you walk into a hospital and everybody will be healed. This what's coming has never been seen before. Well, like again, what is it going to take to make every Muslim say, I want Jesus Christ? What is it? Something extraordinary is coming. And God is giving this to us, offering this to us, so that we can cooperate with what God wants to do. And that's what he's going to teach us. He's going to show us. So the prayers, that's why, you know, the relics of Louisa are so important. When Louisa is beatified, there's not going to be one miracle or two miracles. There'll be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miracles. Why? Because Jesus wants us to know who this little newborn is. She's not ordinary, like an ordinary saint. John Paul II had what, one, two miracles? There will be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miracles. Why? Because something new is taking place. And God is asking us to be possess it. So I mean, so don't limit what God wants to do. I don't care how bad the situation is. Give it to Louisa. And say to Jesus and Mary, Jesus and Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, may this happen. Fiat. And we just leave it in God's hands and watch what God does. So Jesus says, however, as man, I had my desires because my heart associated itself with the other creatures and everything, and making the desires all my own, I desired for everyone, past, present, and future, all with all ardor to give the kingdom of my divine fiat to all souls, past, present, and future. So if I sighed, I sighed for the kingdom of my divine will. If I prayed and cried and desired, it was only for my kingdom that I wanted in the midst of souls, because since it was the holiest thing, My humanity could not do without wanting the desiring the most holiest thing so as to sanctify the desires of everyone, past, present, and future, and to give them what was holy and of greatest and most perfect good for them. So think about it. What is God saying here? What is the most holy? What is the greatest and the most perfect good for us? It's the kingdom. That's why he gave us one prayer. May your kingdom come on earth in us as the saints possess it in heaven. God has great plans, and he needs us. He really needs us to cooperate. Therefore, everything you do is nothing other than my echo that, resounding in you, Louisa, makes you ask in each one of my acts for the kingdom of my divine will. This is why the echo book is so important. Louisa echoed perfectly Jesus' prayer. And when we echo, right in the very beginning, it says, whatever we do, when we echo Louisa's prayers, we will receive the same gifts that Louisa received. There's no reason for it. This doesn't make any sense that we should receive anything that Louisa received. This is God's will, that we will be one with Louisa and participate in what he breathed into her. And that's what God wants for us. It doesn't make human sense. We have done nothing. We are nothing. Yet God wants to share with us divinity. My echo that resides in you makes you ask in each one of my acts for the kingdom of my divine will. This is why I, God, make present to you each act of mine, each pain I suffered, each tear I shed, each step I take, because I love that. Investing them, you repeat after each one of my acts, Jesus, I love you. And because I love you, give me the kingdom of your divine will. This is a command. This isn't pleading. Jesus, I love you, and because I love you, give me the kingdom of your divine will. Think about that. For every heartbeat, every breath, every step that you take, it's Jesus, I love you. And because I love you, give me the kingdom of the divine will. That's a command. See, God is going to teach us that now is the time for a complete change of the face of the earth. Now is the time where the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. Now is the time that things are never, ever, ever going to be the same. The devil is going to hell with his tail between his legs. The earth is going to live the eternal life that God originally breathed into Adam. Everyone is going to participate in this. And all God is asking is that we give our fiat. That's all that he's asking. So he says, I want you to call me in everything I do, to make resound for me the sweet memory of my acts, saying, fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. In such a way that in seeing your littleness, the daughter of my divine will, echoing all of my acts and placing them around me like an army, I may hasten to grant the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Our job, Jesus says, is the greatest job in the world. Our job is to bring the kingdom of God, to form the kingdom of God on earth, to put the devil back into hell, to bring the world to the place, the purpose and place for which it was created. You think it's bad out there? It's only bad because the devil knows his time is over. He sees Louisa in the Vatican. He sees souls reading the divine will. And he knows his kingdom is falling very, very quickly. For every soul, past, present, and future, I say to you, Jesus, I love you. For every heartbeat of every soul, Jesus, I say, I love you. For every breath of every soul that ever lived, I say, I love you. May your kingdom come. This is an explosion of I love yous. For every leaf on a tree, for every blade of grass, for every grain of sand, for every drop of water, I love you. May your kingdom come. This is an explosion of I love yous that lasts for all eternity. The devil can't compete with that. See, the devil is trapped in time and space. We're going to be free of time and space. We're going to re-enter into eternity where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be eternally young as God is eternally young. This is what God has planned. And he needs us to cooperate. He said to Louisa, if it takes centuries, then I will wait centuries. But we don't want Jesus to wait centuries. We want the kingdom to be established now. So we have a grave responsibility before the Lord to allow the kingdom of God in us on earth as it is in heaven. Vine 24:4-30-28. My daughter, everything you saw will serve to purify and prepare the human family. The turmoils will serve to reorder, the destructions to build a more beautiful things. If a collapsing building is not torn down, a new and more beautiful one cannot be formed upon those very ruins. I will stir everything. This is the great shaking for the fulfillment of my divine will. Everything has to come to an end. You know, you look at everything that's happening in the world. None of this is by chance. It has to collapse. Because God has got something great coming, his kingdom. And besides, when I came upon earth, it was not decreed by our divinity that the kingdom of my divine will should come, but that of redemption. In spite of the human ingratitude, it was accomplished. However, it has not yet covered all of its ways. Many regions and peoples live as if I had not come, and therefore it is necessary that it make its way and walk everywhere, because redemption is the preparatory way for the kingdom of my divine will. It is the army that goes forward in order to form the peoples to receive the regime, the light, the life, and the kingdom of my divine will. And so what was not decreed for that time, we, triune God, decree today for the fulfillment of the kingdom of our fiat. Now that was 1928. God says what didn't happen when he was on earth is now going to happen. It's decreed. It's a divine decree by the Holy Trinity. The kingdom is going to be established. Now, who is supposed to receive it? We are. When is it supposed to happen? Now. See, there's no time to be dilly-dallying. It's a time to be focused on these writings. It's a time to read and to study and to put into practice these truths. Jesus says, when I see the souls that want this gift more than anything else, I'm going to give it to them. That's what we have to prove to Jesus. We have to prove to Jesus that we want this gift more than anything else. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.